have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me this morning to familiar verses of Scripture. Probably from childhood days, if you've been in church, you've heard these verses. When I first got in church, I thought this was awesome. And I'll never forget, even though I had the ability to memorize, this was one chapter that I could not ever get perfectly right. Kids would run up and quote it to me, and I'd get up and start preaching it, and I'd get it backwards. I'd have myself laying down in still waters, and drinking out of the green pastures. And I'd go, I know that ain't right. Kind of like my wife in Dollar General. She sees that sign, she goes, dyslexic, it's General Dollar. I don't care where it's at. Go by General Dollar and get so-and-so. I said, I don't even know where that's at. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. But she got it in her head, it was General Dollar, and that ain't never going to be nothing but General Dollar. I remember calling her from Tennessee one time, told her, said, hey, you ain't going to believe it, but they have a market, that place you can't call the name of. Amen. Because in some states, they have a General Dollar or a Dollar General market. And it's something like Walmart's markets. You know, they got groceries and dry goods and all this kind of stuff. And we happened to see one of them. I want to take a picture and send it to her, but I thought I might not live. So I just called her and told her about it. 23rd division of the book of Psalms. For those of y'all that don't understand, psalms are songs. David was singing them. And he wrote songs. And there are six of them that are different from the rest of them. David didn't write all the psalms that's in Psalms. I know some of y'all are going to get mad and say, yeah, he did, but he didn't. There are psalms that were written by somebody that was in Babylonian captivity. David never was, so he couldn't have wrote that psalm. But there are six of them David put something special on. This isn't one of them, but I was looking through some notes this morning and I run across the fact that there are six of the Psalms that are designated by David as a miktam. Means they're golden songs. So he picked out six of them and said, these are my gold records. These are the ones that's the best. Amen. But, you know, for some reason, we've latched on to this one. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. For he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. For surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I know this is a holiday weekend, but I'm here to have church. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but I got up this morning at a normal time, came to church at the normal time, and I'm here to have a normal service. Amen. Now, we ain't going to have church tonight, so don't worry about it. And we'll just throw down this morning, and I'll preach two sermons. And by the way, if you would like to become a part of this fellowship, next Sunday I'm going to be taking in members. We sent for some memberships from another church, and even if it's not back, I'm going to go ahead and take our new associate and his wife in next week. And if you would like to join the church, if you'll see me between now and then, we would like for you to become part of our fellowship. Amen. And it would be a great time just to take in 15, 20 people. And glory. But if you want to join, please let me know. I would like to have you among our membership, and most of you know that I treat my sheep like my sheep, whether they're actually in the fold or not. I figure if you came from somebody else's pasture and you got in my fold, that was your fault, and I'm going to take care of you. Glory. I don't rustle sheep. I don't go to somebody else's fold and get them. But I'm bad about letting them get in flocked when they get here. And I take them in and I take care of them and I treat them like mine. Amen. But if you're not a member of this fold, it would be good for you to become a member of this fold. I think it's important. And that's just my own thinking that you should be a member of a church that you go to. And it's important. If something were to happen, a vote were taken. If you're not actually on the books as a member, you probably wouldn't get to vote. I mean, that's what the minutes say. It would just be up to the person taking the vote as to whether or not you'd get to vote. But there's more to it than that. You'd hate for your kidney not to be a part of your body, wouldn't you? Just operate on its own over here somewhere and just come in every once in a while and help you out when you're in a bind. Glory. It should be a part of the body. Smile. Somebody said, I don't like that. Why? It's a parable like Jesus taught with. Glory. It's what the Bible's full of. It's where you take natural stuff to talk about spiritual stuff. And that's what we're going to do with the Psalms 23. David talks about natural stuff and he talks about the supernatural. You see, what makes this psalm a favorite psalm? It's easy to memorize. There's six verses, short, self-contained, but this is a perfect picture of the relationship of us with God. Amen. You say, what are you talking about? You see, there's intimate fellowship, promises God's comfort, his protection. Amen. If we remain close to the shepherd, God's going to take care of everything in our life. Could you say amen to that, church? Amen. The only time we're going to get in trouble is when we decide to break from the fold. Oh, come on, I'll get on that in a minute. Amen. We have personalized identification. Demonstrates how our spiritual needs are met by the Lord. Tells about the Lord of Israel. Israel knew God primarily as of his power and his holiness. But in Psalms 23, David starts talking about the personal love and compassion that God has for his people. And because of that, we understand. Could you say amen? I got off on this Wednesday night. I apologize for those of you there, but you're going to hear a little bit of stuff I got off on toward the end of the service because my brain was functioning in one direction and I don't multitask that good. Glory. And but the truth of the matter is, the writers of the Old Testament were technically a little inconsiderate in that they wrote in their language and expected us to understand it. We do the same thing when we write stuff. We don't consider who's going to read it. I know, because I've seen some stuff on Facebook. You didn't consider a thing about what you was writing. I don't do Facebook, but I've had people comment, hey, did you see what so-and-so said? And I'm going, oh, man, they didn't think about that. Glory. Hello? I know y'all getting quiet, but I take my shot at Facebook on a regular basis. I don't do Facebook, none of that stuff. My Bible tells me you got something to say to me, come to my face and we'll talk. Amen. We have become so impersonal. In a few years, you're going to have to text message my sermons. Glory. Hello? You been to church? No, I just sitting there reading my phone. And preacher's wearing it out today. Glory. In 1975, I busted a blood vessel in my vocal cord. And the doctor told me I'd never be able to preach three times a week. So I started figuring out I was going to have to get me a typewriter and just type my sermons. Glory. Here I am 40 years later, almost. I'm still preaching. And I believe in Biden what doctors tell you. I never try to preach just three times a week. And for 35 years, it was six or seven times a week. I have preached four times in a day. Amen. But you know what? If a doctor says you can't preach three times a week, you should not try it. Glory. Amen. Abide by that doctor's wish. Amen. Notice this, though. David wrote in colloquial metaphors. 29th Psalm. He talks about God, and he talks about him, God in different manners. He said, oh, he talks about him being powerful, talks about him being all-present, but he doesn't use those terms. He used terms you got to study to find out what he's talking about. In the 23rd Psalm, David, as a shepherd, being in a family of shepherds, talks about God as the shepherd. And he's doing it as if he's the sheep. And he said, you know, the greatest benefit I got, the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. Hallelujah. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Amen. Don't you understand something? He's not shepherd of the world. He's not shepherd of everything that's going on in Alabama. He's shepherd of just what's in my life. If nothing else is going on, he knows who I am. He knows where I am. Come on, church. Amen. David wrote it this way. He said, thou art mindful of me. Amen. David said, oh, you're comprehensive what's going on in my life. Amen. The Bible tells me your heavenly Father already knows what you have need of. And because he's my shepherd, he is mindful of my needs, and he works on meeting my needs. And because the Lord is my shepherd, I don't want. Glory. Hello? Now, wait a minute, preacher. I've got things I want. You get him to be your shepherd, sell out to him. Amen. When you do, you won't want, because the things you don't need, he ain't going to have you wanting them. Come on, church. Amen. I'm not going to do like one preacher came to me one time. He was preaching. He took his keys out, and he said, hey, I don't care anything about my house. You want it? Throwed the keys to a guy. Said, you can have my house. Well, I knew that this house belonged to his brother-in-law. It wasn't his anyway. Glory. I could give you the keys to my house, but I guarantee you Flagstar Bank wouldn't be real happy if you didn't make the payments. Glory. Come on, church. I had somebody the other day say, boy, I wish I had that car. I said, yeah, take it. Payments go with it. Glory. But you know what? God is my shepherd. He's put in me the ability to accept what I have and not get excited about what I can't have. I'm not sitting around trying to figure out why I'm not Bill Gates. I'm not Bill Gates because God doesn't have that in my life. If God wanted me to be Bill Gates, I'd learn how to make computers before he did. Come on, church. Some of y'all going, who's Bill Gates? It doesn't matter. Amen. The fact is, he's one of the richest men in the world. I'm not ever going to be one of the richest men in the world as far as money's concerned. But I can tell you this, when the trump of God sounds, I'd rather have what I got in my account than what he's got in his, because I'm not worried about whether or not the banks are going to fall. I'm not worried about whether or not everything in the world's going to fall apart. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd, and everything in this world's going to pass away. Everything here is going to go. But I've got treasures laid up in heaven through an anointing power of God that moves in my life, and I understand that no matter what happens down here, what happens in the future, I've got a God holding my hand who's going to see to it that I walk in the mountaintops and I live with the presence of his glory. Could you What's meant if you don't call him Lord? Well, you know, the Jews were mad about just saying he is God, Elohim, the creative power. He's the high being. But you know what? David said he's more than just God. Amen. And you know, you could call him Master Adonai. But let's face it, then you'd just be a slave that was owned by him. I'm not owned by God. God doesn't grab me and control me like a little puppet and tell me I got to do what he says do. I have a free will, but my will is subject to the power of the God that loves me so much that I'll do anything to stay in the flock. Come on, church. Smile at me. Say, what are you talking about? I can leave anytime I want to. I got a right. You know, that's one thing I always notice about shepherds in the Middle East. They don't have fenced-in fields they keep the sheep in. Amen. They're just out in the open field where they can run around and do whatever they want to. The truth of the matter is, sheep figure out after a while, as long as I hang near the shepherd, he's going to keep me where there's good food. He's going to keep me where there's good water. He's going to bless me. He's going to move me to the mountain when I need to be there. He's going to carry me through the valley. He's going to protect me from the enemy. You say, what are you talking about? I will do anything I need to do to be in the shepherd's fold. I don't want to get out of the care of the Lord. I'm not here because I have to be. I'm not here because I have no choice. I am here by choice because one day a God that loved me so much gave his life that I might have everlasting life. And when he got a hold of me and changed my life, I have nothing else in this world I desire but to know him and the power of his glory. Glory. Amen. And I don't just call him God, the great creator. I call him Lord. Amen. What does that mean? I've had a coronation service in my own life. I've crowned him and put him on the throne of my life. And because of that, I lovingly serve him with everything that is in me. I get up in the morning and I'm looking for reasons to please him. Come on, church. Glory. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? You see, I call him Lord because he is the Lord of my life. We call him King, Rock, Fortress, Mighty, and Holy One. It implies impersonal terms. But when I say Lord, it's a personal relationship between me and him. He's not just the King of everybody else. He's my King. Hallelujah. He's not just the Lord of the world. He's my Lord. He's my Savior, my Deliverer, my God. Amen. What was he said? Oh, David said, oh, you're my God in whom I trust. Hallelujah. Because I trust him, I understand that he is my Lord. Could you say amen? But now notice this. Who is the person that I'm going to call Lord? Has he really got the qualifications to hold that job? Glory. See, I've read about all the gods of the world, studied them, done some papers on some of them. The truth of the matter is, every one of them's dead. They can tell you where they're buried. I mean, if you're Buddhist, you'd want to go to Peking and sit outside the grave where Buddha's buried. Glory. And then the greatest thing could ever happen to you, nothing. Don't laugh. That's what nirvana is. If you're a Buddhist, you try to obtain nirvana. That's the state of perfect nothingness. Glory. I've been there. You know, I've been there when my bank account was gone and there wasn't nothing there. I've been a great Buddhist in my life. Glory. Some of y'all missed that. Y'all going, what are you talking about? Hey, let me straighten something out to you. I made a statement last week, and some of y'all just missed the whole context of what I said. I said I type 100 words a minute in my language. Somebody was this week, preacher typed 100 words a minute. I'm not saying you can read it. I'm just saying I can type them. Of course, it looks like somebody been text messaging. It's sad when somebody sends you a text message and you got to call somebody to ask them what they said. All I got was OMG, LOL, and I'm going, what in the? And we're living in a world where people think they're intelligent because they send that stuff over a phone. Well, I know what it is. Well, I don't. Type it out. I need an explanation. I'm glad God didn't put his word in some language I couldn't understand. Come on, church. Amen. But now notice this. Is the God that I call Lord, is he really there? I mean, let's face it. If you were a Muslim tonight or this morning, you'd want to go over to Mecca, crawl through there, bump your head on the carpet so you could find favor with your God. If you were Hindu, you'd crawl with chains and beat yourself and stick nails through your tongue and pierce your eyebrows and y'all didn't realize we had Hindus in America, did you? I mean, they just piercing themselves everywhere, talking about, I'm going to find favor with a God somehow. Amen. They don't even realize it's pagan religion they're following. Come on, church. And they tattoo themselves up and put all kind of stuff on them to bring evil spirits in to help them. Why is it getting quiet? I'm not telling you something you couldn't find out. Go get Encyclopedia Britannica and read up on those two things. You'll find out I'm telling you the truth. Amen. I mean, you go to Africa, they stick nails through their tongue. Then they get all that stuff and pull it out and they get a hole and they put stuff in it. Just keep getting the hole bigger and bigger and bigger. Amen. I remember one time I was doing a Methodist camp meeting. This kid had earrings, but they weren't earrings. They were just really rings in his ears. Literally, you could stick your finger through his ears. And he had these things in there just getting them bigger and bigger. And I walked by him. I said, dude, why are you doing that? He said, oh, I'm in. I said, in what? He said, well, this just makes me look good. I said, that's right. I see your ears. I'm not looking at your face. I guarantee you that. Glory. So I got to church that night, and there's a whole bunch of folks. That's 600, 700 people at that camp meeting that night. And I called him up on the stage, and I said, where's your mom and dad? And he said, they're right back there. I said, can I borrow your son, especially in October, November, December? And I said, why? I said, I want him to go with me to my revivals. And he's standing there, you know, grinning. I said, because he can stick his head out the window and his ears will whistle and keep the deer out of the road. Glory. Amen. You say, you made that boy mad. If I'm in Tuscaloosa County right now, around Pickens County, and I run into him, he will come across the place to tell me how much he loves and appreciates me, because since that night, he's been a personal friend, because he said, I like that preacher. Amen. But the reality is, that's where we are. We're living in a world where we try to find favor with all these things. But can I tell you something about the God I serve? There's not one place in that Bible where it says I got to do something to find favor with him. There's not one place in there that says I got to cut myself or dance on fire die or do something stupid with my body, all I have to do is call on his name and believe on him. And because of that, he becomes my Lord. He becomes my Savior. You say, well, wait a minute, preacher. Is he really? Well, you see, that's the great thing about it. The Lord is. Well, if you stop right there, you got it. What is he? Well, he's Alpha, the Omega, the beginning of the end. He is the God that rides on the wings of the wind, and the clouds have been made his chariot. He is a God to settle on the circle of the earth, and the earth has become his footstool. He's the God that washes the oceans in the hollow of his very hand, who spanned out the heavens and hung all the stars in the sky. He is the God that spoke everything into existence. He is the Lord God Almighty, who reigneth forever and forever and forever. And he is the beginning and the end. He was before I was, and he will be when it's all over with. Why? Because he is Lord, and because of that, he's got a right to be the Lord of my life and your life. The Lord is my shepherd. Glory. That ought to tickle somebody. Glory. The God that spoke everything into existence takes time to be my Lord. Glory. Amen. Do you realize that if nobody else in the world ever done anything wrong, 2,000 years ago, he hung on a cross so I could have everlasting life. Glory. Amen. Oh, I'm going to go on. See, some of y'all going, well, he's your God. But you see, I made him my God. I made him my Lord. I gave him coronation. I joined his flock, and I have no intentions of getting out of it. Glory. Come on, church. Amen. What's meant if we call him Lord? What does the word simply is implies? Some only testify to past experiences with God. You know, like the Lord was my shepherd. Glory. If was is in your vocabulary, you've messed up. Then some can't talk about anything but the future. The Lord's going to be my shepherd. Glory. Huh? Can I tell you, church, that if you sell out to him, the Lord will be your shepherd right now. Amen. I keep having people talk about, oh, I can't wait till I get to heaven. Oh, I'm going to be a son of God when I get to heaven. You ain't read your Bible. Book of 1 John said, beloved, now we are the sons of God. What are you talking about right now? I'm a sheep. I'm in the shepherd's fold. I don't have to wait till I get to heaven to have heavenly benefits. Could you say amen to that, church? What are you talking about? I have a right to believe that everything that book says God can do, he can do it in my life. And if I believe that, then I understand that whatever I need, God is going to provide for me according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And because of that, I don't want for anything in this world. Something simple. My wife's been taking over my recliner. She's been praying for one for her room. I've been praying for one for her room because I want my recliner back. I was in Standard Furniture the other day, and the guy said, hey, I was trying to Jew him out of something. He said, hey, come by Sunday. We're having a Sunday sale. You can get ice cream Sunday. I said, well, then I'll die in a diabetic coma. And I asked him, I said, how much will those recliners be on Sunday? Because I know last year on the Sunday before Labor Day, my wife said, let's go look. How many of y'all understand your wife can't look? I knew when I went down there we was going to buy. I was talking about maybe riding out there this afternoon, seeing what kind of recliners they had, and get her recliner so I could get mine back. Phone rings Friday night. Young man on the other side said, hey, you know anybody in the church that needs a recliner? I want to get rid of one. I said, how much you want for it? He said, I'll give it to somebody in the church if they want it. I looked up Frida and said, you want a recliner? Do you know it just happened to be the same color as the chair she was sitting in? So it fits in the room just like that one did? Amen. And I just had to, you know, go over to his apartment and get it, bring it back, set it in the house. And last night she was in her recliner and I was in my recliner and everybody was happy. Glory. You said now, preacher, no. Realize this. It was a recliner. It wasn't just a chair. And it was one that fit in, and it works. And it's even a rocker. Mine don't rock. Hello? Come on, church. You say, what are you getting at? I got a God who will take care of you if you will let him. You say, well, that's just a recliner. Well, hey, I don't want to bore you, but I could keep you here the rest of the morning talking about things he's done for us over the years. Amen. But because the Lord is my shepherd, I'm hanging in with the group, because as long as I'm here, he's going to take me to green pastures. He's going to lead me beside those things that will hurt me. He's going to provide for me. Come on, church. Amen. In case some of y'all haven't heard, I went to the oncology center. Friday was a week ago, which I've been having to go to every 6 months for tests, and sometimes in between times because the test didn't do what they wanted it to do. Amen. And those of you know, they removed a tumor off my head that was cancer, and they keep telling me it's going to be somewhere else, and it's got to be somewhere else, and they can't find it, and they can't do anything with it. And finally, this last Friday, she looked at me and she said, how about I give you 12 months before you have to come back? And I said, hey, you give me 24. I'm not going to have to worry about it. Come on, church. And she said, oh, by the way, I'm not going to do those scans I was thinking about doing. I've about give up on the idea that it's ever coming back, but said, if you have a problem, call me. I looked at her and I said, well, that ain't going to happen. Lord. Amen. You say, what are you talking about? I've got a God who is a God who is my Lord. And because of that, he's going to take care of me. He's going to provide for me. Come on, church. Amen. God is. Amen. He's my God right now. Now, what two things can I count on? Because he is right now. The Lord will care and protect you today. But you don't have to go someplace else to find the shepherd's care. What would it mean if we left the pronoun out? The Lord is a shepherd. Means he's one among many. Who or what is your shepherd? The Lord is the shepherd. Means he is the priority, but he's not personal. But notice what Jesus said in John 10:11. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. The Lord is our shepherd means he relates to me in a crowd. I'm only not one among many, but I am the only one at any time I need him. He said, what are you talking about? When he looks at the sheep, he looks at each individual sheep and says, hey, wait a minute, that one over there needs me. I'm going to that one right now because he needs me. Amen. Come on, church. I mean, if I got too much wool, he'll get some wool off of me. Amen. Glory. Oh, come on, church. That's good preaching. Amen. Glory. Notice this. The Lord is my shepherd tells me this. It says that God is the shepherd of my life. Why are we like sheep? Let me ask that question. I'm going to go ahead and make y'all finish getting you mad. Number one, sheep stray. That's why we constantly have to have revival and moves of God in the church. Keep people prayed back through. Because for some reason, some folks get in the fold and they just don't care anything about staying in the fold. They stray. They'll catch a shepherd not looking. They're gone. Amen. See, that's why you got to understand how things operate. You have your local shepherd, which is the pastor. And you have evangelists. And evangelists are not shepherds. They're sheepdogs. They show up to help us get the people back in the fold that's been running out over yonder somewhere. And don't look at me like that. I spent 35 years as a sheepdog. And I understood my job. I wasn't there to counsel people. I wasn't there to run the church. I was there to help get everybody back in the fold that needed to be back in the fold and bite the heels of a few that was hanging on the edge. Glory. Oh, come on, church. That's good preaching. Amen. And by the way, while I'm going ahead and announce it, starting the 14th, we will be in revival here at the church. It'll last through that Friday night. And I know somebody said, we got football games. Well, Christians will be at church. If you've got a job, that's a different story. I knew it was going to get quiet, and I got some so mad right now, there's smoke coming out the ears. But you got to get your priorities straight. I remember one Saturday night, I was preaching at a church, and I seen a guy in the back. He ain't moved all week long. And suddenly I realized he had a wire going to his ear, and I'm like, no wonder the dude speak. He can't hear good, and he's been all week without his hearing aid. And he's back there, and he's hitting the back of the seat, and he's all excited. And I'm thinking, man, I'm finally moving this dude. Church is over with. He run by me and said, we up 2 touchdowns. Glory. He'd been back there listening to a stupid football game while we was having church. Smile. And I know football games happen, but, you know, I've never seen a good time for revival. When I was an evangelist, I'd go to places to preach, and they'd be going, well, you know, it'd be a good time if this wasn't going on, this wasn't going on, and this wasn't going on. I actually went to one church, got there on Sunday morning, and they found one of the main members of the church dead that afternoon. He'd been in the altar that morning, and he had a heart attack and died. And we had church that night, and the pastor said, well, they're going to use the church for having a funeral tomorrow, so we've got to call off the revival. He calls me the next morning. He said, his wife said if we called off this revival, she'd leave the church. And I called the pastor back. I said, what do you want to do? He said, can you come back Wednesday night and go the rest of the week? And I said, sure. 3 weeks later, we closed the revival. 35 people saved, 30 filled with the Holy Ghost. Had one lady been praying for a husband for 20-something years, and we was doing the baptismal service. He come running through the back door, run up and dove over the glass into the baptism, wanting to be baptized. And I said, are you saved? He said, I prayed through in the car just a little while ago. Amen. Glory. There is no good time for a meeting, but I'm telling you, God has got it going, and I believe God's going to move. Could you say amen? That was just a little advertisement, deviated for a moment, but I'm hurrying. I know it's 12 o'clock. It's the witching hour. But people stray. Listen, Isaiah 53:6, notice what he said about us. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to our own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Luke 15:4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he find it? When he had found it, he lay it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Sheep are self-satisfying. They only seek those things that make them feel good. So the shepherd has to lead them to good stuff. Hello? Sheep have no sense of danger. Sheep don't understand that snakes, wolves, bears, and parasites will mess them up. And we got folks that don't understand. Just because everybody else does it don't mean I can do it. Y'all remember when you was kids, you'd tell your daddy, everybody else is doing it. Well, if everybody jumped off a bridge, would you do it? Yeah. But the truth of the matter is, that's all I hear from people. Everybody else is doing it, but is everybody else going to go to heaven? Well, I ain't going to this church. I doesn't answer my question. I don't care what church they go to. I want to know where they intended to spend eternity. Come on, church. Amen. Say, what are you getting at? Narrow is the way, and narrow is the gate which leadeth into eternal life, and few there be that find their way in. We have to become to the point that we're no longer numb to what's going on around us. We as Christians have this bad habit of accepting what everybody else accepts without understanding. If it's not in the Word, it can destroy our life. It can mess us up. But the shepherd will keep us out of that. He'll keep the parasites off our life. He'll keep us away from the snakes and the things that can mess us up. If we'll let him. But we're also defenseless. We don't have weapons to use against the devil. Well, bless God, I can cast out demons. Now, how do you do that? You do it in his name, through his power, through his anointing. In myself, I cannot handle demons. Some of you are going to be like the sons of Sceva. I went to a thing the other day, and this lady was up there talking about deliverance ministry and how she was going to pray for this, that, and the other. I leaned over to the guy next to me, and I said, if a real demon showed up, we got a problem. She's going to go crazy. He said, do what? And I said, you and I both know the way she's talking. She ain't never had a real confrontation in her life. Why? Because she run talking about how she's going to do it. She's making jokes out of it. Honey, if you've ever been in a real confrontation with a demon, it's not a joking matter. Amen. And you see, sheep don't have claws. They don't have teeth. They don't have ability to defend themselves. They have to depend on the shepherd to take care of the problem. And can I tell you, I have no ability to overcome Satan. I have no ability to overcome demon spirits. But I can tell you, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. And in him I live and move and have my being. And because he is my Lord, I am more than a conqueror. Could you? I probably could stop, but I'm going to give you this last one before I leave. Sheep are dumb. It's that simple. Isaiah 53, he was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before the shearer is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Sheep are not intelligent animals. We sometimes are not the most intelligent people in the world. We make decisions that aren't sometimes the most important thing in our life. Yeah, I don't know why I went this direction. I was wanting to have y'all hanging out the window before I got through, but I'll never forget, I was in a council meeting one time, and it was one of our pastors had done something that was dumb. Granted, he was trying to make a point, but he done something stupid. He'd seen Rod Parsley preaching, and Rod Parsley had a cigarette he lit up and was acting like it was something that kills revival. And the truth of the matter was, it was an electric fake cigarette that Rod Parsley had. Well, this guy wasn't modern. He didn't realize they had electric fake cigarettes back then, so he lit a real one up. He's walking around from his church puffing it. All the phone calls started into the state office. They want his license pulled. There was preachers in the state that one in particular had lost his papers because he smoked, and he wanted his license pulled. Pull my papers! But he was actually smoking. He wasn't just putting on something for a sermon. They reprimanded the guy, slapped his wrist, made him apologize to the church, which is really all that should have happened, because even the church folks admitted they knew he wasn't smoking cigarettes on a regular basis. But in the meeting, we heard one of the cliches of the Church of God. One of the men defended him, stood up and said, "Now, overseer, you know we don't take a man's papers for doing something stupid." How many of y'all been around me very long? You understand my brain took that and went to flying. I said, "Mr. Overseer, I'd like to ask this gentleman a question. He says we don't take people's paper for doing something dumb. Do we consider committing adultery an intelligent act?" Hello? Because we pull a man's papers for committing adultery. We pull a man's paper for stealing money. We pull a man's paper for doing other things that are unbecoming for a minister. Hello? He looked at me sort of funny, and the overseer just bust out laughing. He said, "We need to take a recess." We come back in. That guy says, "I think I'll rephrase that last comment I had." But the truth of the matter is, church, that's where we are. We make decisions based on desire and not on what's right and wrong sometimes. And because we do that, we are dumb. And we need a shepherd that can take that staff and hook us around the neck and pull us back in where we belong. That's what the Spirit of God's there for, to convict us and condemn us. That we know I can't go there, I can't do that, because I've got the word, which is a rod, and the staff, which is a spirit, that help guide me and direct me and keep me out of those things. And why is all that going on? Because the Lord is my shepherd, and because of that, I understand that in him I'm going to make it. Could you say amen? Stand with me all over the house. See, the problem doesn't arise if the Lord is my shepherd. God will take care of me as long as he is my shepherd. There's an intimate relationship between me and him. But when I break fellowship and I break relationship with him, then suddenly I'm like a sheep that got out of the fold. And I'm subject to the snakes and the parasites and the predators. When sheep are moving, the predators walk in a close circle behind, just waiting on one to separate themselves so they become vulnerable to an attack. And I wonder sometime if some of us don't allow ourselves to get to that place where the enemy has clean shots at us and take us down, wound us, some fatal, some not. But the great thing about a shepherd is, no matter what that sheep's gotten into while it was outside the flock, he gladly picks it up, puts it on his shoulders, and rejoices on the way back to the flock. No matter what he's got to do to get it back where it needs to be, so it become part of the flock. praying for the service today and what God wanted me to preach on, I struggled with this. But at the same time, I wanted to preach what God put in my heart. And I believe there are people under the sound of my voice this morning that for whatever reason, you've allowed Satan to steer you in the wrong direction. And you've left the flock, so to speak, looking for answers, looking for things in your life that you really don't need. And God sent me here to tell you the shepherd's looking for you. And I can put it in scripture if you need it. I stand at the door and knock. That letter's to the church, not to people that's never known God, but people that have gone away and closed the door. Said, I stand at the door and I knock. And if any man will open that door, I will come in unto him. I will sup with him. I will be their Lord again. And I believe with all my heart, God's speaking to somebody in this building right now. That for whatever reason, things between you and God aren't where they need to be. You need to be in this altar right now. You'll never get to the green pastures. You'll never be led beside the poisonous waters. You'll never know the reality of no worry or fear as long as you're outside the flock looking in. But if you'll turn it over to Him, God will take care of you. God will begin to heal those wounds of your heart. God will begin to turn your life around if you'll let Him. Father, I thank you today for your love, your mercy. And I'm asking you, God, to touch this house with your anointing. Father, move on us with your presence. Be Lord of all. In Jesus' name.